Last week also, Pete asked a question, who is it that can give it all up? And he said, it's only those who don't care anymore about losing their stuff. Again, are you holding on to reality or just a philosophy? In other words, let me give you the analogy version. Are you just playing Monopoly? Fake money? It is fake. Need I say more? Fake cars. When the game's over, they're gone. Fake property. When the game's over, you don't have it anymore. Are you just playing Monopoly here? You just want to get some more properties and some more money and some more possessions and maybe make a few deals while you're here. Hopefully people will remember that. Is it just a Monopoly game? Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Give up the Monopoly game, which you can't keep, and start living in reality, which you can't lose. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the last verse there says that those things which are seen are temporary, and those things which are unseen are eternal. Are you living in reality or just a philosophy? If you're just living a philosophy, maybe Karl Marx was right. Everyone know Karl Marx's famous statement? Religion's just opium for the people. It's a crutch for weak people who can't handle reality. Maybe he was right for if you're just believing a philosophy. Or, if we really can handle reality, maybe we can just conquer his side of things. That might be the other option. That's the option I'm going for. I'm not going to fall under just this, you know, be all you can be, live your life now, it's your time, right? You've heard those titles before. That's not life. That's not reality. That's philosophy. That's trying to convince people to think better about themselves. And as much as God wants you to realize how valuable you are, that might not be reality. Reality is what is unseen. Reality is the world and realm of the spirit. We're not fixing our eyes on what is unseen. We don't want to just use our get out of hell free card. And that's the best part of the game. Right? Some of us are doing that though. We're coming to church and we're doing the religious thing to get out of hell for free. Just like a bank robber going in somewhere, talking about how he can get something for nothing. And then that was a quote from Leonard Ravenhill. But it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Ephesians chapter 5 says, wake up, you sleeper. Or in the words of Paris Reedhead, wake up, you sleepy Christians. Christ will give you light. No more lean upon the empty words of man. You see, Ephesians 5 also, just before it says to wake up, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words. If your whole Christianity is only words, it's empty. And it's just philosophy. You're just trying to convince yourself. Or are you dealing with what's really there? Here's another way to ask it. And this might strike home a little better. How does this thing operate? totally wirelessly, right? Everything it does. And if it doesn't work, we get upset, right? Bluetooth, if that file doesn't get there, we're in trouble at our meeting. Email, if that file doesn't get there, man. The call coming through, things we can't see. I mean, you're talking Beethoven's full piece of orchestra work that took hundreds of people to play in an orchestra and make those instruments sound so beautiful, and you can send that wirelessly. Is that still real? And did man think of something God never did? Am I getting somewhere now? Are you able to send a wireless message into heaven and affect it or not? Has man thought of something that God couldn't think of or develop? Can you send a message out to the evil world and say, this is what we're about to do to you? We're about to overcome. Can you send a message into the throne room of God that ascends as incense, as it says, before the throne, the aroma? Can you send that and it actually be effective? Do you believe it? Or have you just been trying to convince yourself and your prayers are just trying to make you feel better? See? Is it just empty words? And it's a fine line for many of us. Because some of us, we know we believe it, but we haven't seen something, and so there's a disconnect. We're trying to wonder. Now, don't let Satan come and condemn you right now. He's going to right now. He's going to try to condemn you right here. You haven't been doing enough. You haven't been really believing. He's going to try to use encouraging words to condemn you right here before you hear the rest of the message. These words are just to provoke. And truly examine, where are we at? Are we just doing this religious thing just to help us all feel better? But we need to examine this because it's been so thoroughly infiltrated, and I watched it while I was in school, the school that Bill talked about there. I watched as men would come and only get filled up with pride. They really didn't get filled up with anything else. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And they got their head full and their heart empty. And then they went out to be a pastor. And so I'm watching these verbal battles go on, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? And then they're telling me, man, you're so lucky you had a great foundation. I said, why don't you go get one? Why do I need to be lucky for having a great foundation? Maybe it was God working and then provoking me along each stage so that I got to where I'm at. It's not a happenstance. It's reality. So many people's theology is just words. We sit around and we talk about things like, well, is he really going to go to heaven? Instead of praying with him. That's theology that works. If you believe in prayer, go pray for him. Stop talking about him. Where is your theology? Is it just sitting around and saying, well, you know, the nature of angels is a little bit different than people. And, you know, I'm not sure if that dog's going to be in heaven or not. What does that matter? Deal with what is actually taking place. Sitting around and trying to figure things out doesn't tear down strongholds. It doesn't love people and have compassion on them. It doesn't go to those who are in need. It doesn't spend time with the broken and heal the brokenhearted. It doesn't bring healing to the sick, as we are to lay hands on them and they will recover. Mark chapter 16. It just talks. It's just empty. Let's stop talking. My theology class was called active theology for a reason. Because stop the talking and let's do something about it. If your theology doesn't work, Ephesians says it's empty. And many of us have been convinced that faith and belief can merely be in the head. But this is the whole deception that Ephesians was talking about. Don't be deceived by empty words. Because we've been taught that believing is here. If you can just tell me these words that I'm telling you, then you'll be okay. When the word in Greek is always the same for faith, believe, and faithful. It's always the same. It's never a different word. It's just based on context, how in English you should put the word. It's pistos. The Greek word pistos means faith. But you can also translate it just as equally faithful every time. You can also translate it just as equally believe every time. Do you believe? Are you faithful? Who is keeping you faithful? Is it you or God? See, now we're dealing with theology, the knowing of my God. That's where theology really matters, is do you know your God? That's where theology comes down and says, okay, who is this one that I say I believe in? Why are we here? There's some things you should talk about. You have to get into the room where you draw the field out and discuss who's going to go where and who's going to accomplish what task during the game. You have to be in that strategy room. But let's get out of the strategy room. Those theologians have been sitting around in strategy rooms for thousands of years and thinking that's the best place to be. When the reality is, it's the game that matters. So why are we here? We're here for the gospel. We're here for the sake of the gospel, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why we're here. To believe it, to preach it, to testify to it, and to baptize and teach people according to it. The power of the gospel. So what is the gospel, by the way? What is the gospel? The good news. Some of you are saying what that good news is. Well, first of all, what's the news? What is the news? What is the news? See? Because we've been talking too much and not reading our Bibles, you know, some of us are a little hairy on this. The news is, and we're going to find out why is it good. It's good news. What's the news? The kingdom of heaven's at hand. That's the news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said it. John the Baptist said it. He said, I came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He also said, John 18:37, for this reason I was born. For this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. The gospel of the kingdom. Now what? Why is that good? Why is it good that the kingdom of heaven is here? Because, and now, before I get there, sorry. What's happening when a kingdom is moving? When people move, they're going to the bathroom, you know? When kingdoms move, something strategic is taking place. What is it? Conquering. Expansion. Taking over. Keeping peace. Whatever, right? They're taking care of the situation at hand. Whether it's internal, they need to conquer that situation. They need to make sure there's peace. Whether it's external, they need to push the enemy back or conquer more land. That's what kingdoms do. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here, now. Approaching what? The kingdom of darkness. And what is the condition under the kingdom of darkness? Death, destruction, pain, shame, humiliation, suffering, sickness. Why is there suffering in the world? Well, kingdom of darkness. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Right? This arena belongs, for now, to him. But what did Jesus say that church is doing? I call you Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. What is this saying about the church? You're kicking down the doors. The gates don't get off the hinges and chase you. We think that, oh, they're not going to prevail against me while I sit here in my couch. You're right. But the problem is you're sitting in your couch eating a picnic in the middle of a battlefield. And cannonballs fall there. And what does happen to casual Christians? Now you know why. Right? They become casualties. Because they're trying to eat their picnic lunch in the middle of a battlefield. Satan wants you dead. Jesus wants you on his side trying to destroy the enemy. And somewhere you're going to get caught in between if you're not on guard. Right? Whose side are you on? Are you dealing with reality? Do you see the situation at hand? My prayer is that we'll see this. The kingdom of God is advancing here. And the kingdom of darkness has already been defeated. And Satan doesn't want you to know. He's the father of all lies. Jesus came to testify to the... He's the light of the world because this world is in darkness. This is a battle. And by the way, the opposing sides are not going this way. They're opposing. Right? He's coming into the darkness. He's sending you as lights, ambassadors. And now is the question that comes down to our world here. If you know that you're an ambassador of the kingdom, how then are you walking? Are you walking with that authority as men of God? Are you shying down, not wondering if this is what you're really supposed to do? You have been given authority from the king. To go and take the land. What did he tell Joshua? Take the land. And he told him the same thing that he told us in the New Testament. For I am with you. The Lord your God is with you. Now go. Conquer the land. What did Jesus say? It wasn't new. Jesus said, I'm not preaching something new to you. I've overcome the world. And he said, for I am with you always. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. I'm with you. Who's with you? El Shaddai, the Almighty. His hand is going with you. Go with me, before me. Walk with me. He is with you. Are you sitting in reality? Are you holding on to reality? Or are you going to just hold on to a philosophy because you feel like the things of the world are taking you over and you're trying to cope with it? These are the psychological words that we're influenced by. Coping is not a reality. Coping is trying to somehow be casual. Trying to keep calm in the midst of the storm. No, that's not what happens. What does the Bible say in Romans 8 that we are? More than conquerors. More than a conqueror. What's more than a conqueror? More than a conqueror isn't just someone who wins. They don't just cope with it. They don't just get through the storm. They walk through like nothing's happening. Right? Conquerors get through all bloodied up. More than a conqueror, people just fall as they go. Like Peter walking through the streets and people just want to get in his shadow. What happens to the evil thing that was holding and binding them? Right? It's gone. It's gone. Peter doesn't even have to speak to it. Why? Because he's walking in the presence of the Lord and he knows it. He's confident and he has the authority of the kingdom. Are we walking this way? You can walk this way if you're not walking this way. You are an ambassador. You are a son. You are accepted in God. Stop doubting. That's what we're doing. That's why we're weak. We're doubting. What did James say about praying? You think Satan knows what's going on? He does. He knows the Bible. He tried to give it to Jesus. Right? And he's going to use it against you. He does it every day when you pray. What's the one thing that will happen if you doubt? You ought not think you'll receive anything from the Lord. So what is the first thing Satan wants to do when you start praying? Doubt. Is it really going to happen? I hope so. Yes, this is going to happen. His promise is sure. He is faithful. Based on his past faithfulness, do you really believe you have a guarantee of the future, of today? Is he really going to answer your prayer? That's the confidence. The whole book of Hebrews is based on one phrase, that you might walk in assurance of faith, not doubting. No more doubting. No more wondering. The ambassador calls the president because he knows he has authority. He's walking in the authority given to him. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you're seated with him. And in chapter 1 it said where he was seated. Far above all principality and power and rulership in this age and in the age to come. You're seated there. So what are you doing under the circumstances? Well, under the circumstances, what are you doing under them? You must not have realized what was going on. So let's begin to use the armor of God and walk in discernment because we know the reality. If you know what's really happening, that you're not fighting against flesh, then when someone, your wife, starts yelling at you for something you did, you realize it's probably not even her, and you start to have compassion on her. She must have fallen prey to something that you provoked, and then Satan used it. She's being used, and you're being used. If you're not on guard against the enemy, you realize there's just some little thing that's been itching at her. And now you overcome it. You don't meet evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. By the way, heaven is not full of people that coped through life. It's full of overcomers. It's not full of strugglers. It's full of overcomers. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life. To him who overcomes, I will give the key of David, of the house of David. To him who overcomes, only to him who overcomes. Fear not, it's not you that has to overcome the world. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. And if you be in me, then I'm in you. For lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's here. This is the gospel. This is the theology that matters. Do you know where you stand? Do you know what's going on? If you do, then the wiles of the devil you realize are taking place when you meet people. Especially someone that you hardly even talk to them and they get irritated at you. You have to know there's something taking place in their life that has been building up and Satan's been provoking them and they gave way to it. And you have compassion on that soul because you realize that if they really saw the truth, they would not act that way. And so you have compassion. And you begin to overcome evil with good. And you share the love of God. That's why the love of God is so powerful. That's why grace is so powerful. And what are we saved by? Grace. Sometimes our theology has messed us up. And I used to ask that question and people would always say, faith. You're saved by faith. Uh-uh. It's not what Ephesians 2 says. The preposition is by grace, through faith. Faith is a conduit. It's not the thing itself. All you got to do is plug in the hose, right? What did Chuck used to quote it. He said it was from someone else, Chuck Smith. I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out, right? Plug in. Put your hose in the right spot. People plug their faith into all kind of stuff. And things happen. You see the evidence of their faith. They go to mosque. They go to Mormon in the temple, whatever. You see them walking on the streets. But for some reason, we see all these people of faith in churches doing nothing. We know where their faith is plugged into. Right? Faithful. If you're not faithful, you don't have faith. Now, God will give you that faithfulness. It's not your work, lest any man would boast. But, be faithful. If you don't have it, ask for it. Faith comes if you don't have it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. And the Word of God will restore you. One more question. If you look at Malachi 3, 16 and 17, as you're turning there, you can underline it. It's probably a more important verse than you ever realized. It says there that those who feared the name of the Lord was there, and he listened, and he heard. And then, after the rest of the verse, it says, he recorded a book of remembrance. Do you believe that when you simply talk, when you talk with other people that fear the name of the Lord, do you believe the Lord is there? Or do you believe you have to bow your head, close your eyes, or play a nice worship song? Now that helps in a mutual gathering because the Lord is lifted up on the praises of his people. And you are given more faith as you come together. And so it tends to be that the Lord is there. But if we think that we have to come and provoke God to be with us, then we're acting like an Eastern religion, thinking that we can conjure up some work of the Spirit. And that's what they do. They conjure up the Spirit. And they do all these little things that get them emotionally charged, and then the nice sounds, and then they know God, that they've experienced something. Are we doing that in churches? I hope not. My prayer is that you have the faith to realize, while we're talking, God's with us. How much more when we're all together? If two or three are gathered in my name, doesn't say what they're doing. If they're gathered in my name, there I am. Right? He is here. If you are together talking about the Lord, or even just talking, and you fear the Lord, and the other person fears the Lord, he's there, and he's listening, and he's hearing. And the other question, do you want him recording what you're saying? He says he writes a book of remembrance. Are you living in reality? Because if you realize that's real, you're going to change the way you might talk with some people. Don't forget, God loves to have humor and fun. He's not a legalist. Praise the Lord. In fact, one of the harshest books in the Old New Testament is Galatians. And guess what he was writing about? Legalism. Don't get that mindset. Don't think, well, God needs me to do this and I got to do that now to make him happy. No, God, do you believe God wants to be here? Do you believe God wants to be with you? Is he really a loving Heavenly Father that he says he is? This is what I'm provoking. Say yes. If you believe it, stop doubting. Yes, He loves you. Now let's walk in it. Let's go out and let's realize that as soon as we start talking with somebody, you have this little smirk and twinkle in your eye. You're like, God's with me. You didn't realize it, did you, when we walked in the room? That's why you always send them out two by two, by the way. But you can do this walking around with your wife. You don't even have to have a buddy with you. Think of how powerful that is when two people walk around. Both fear the Lord. You've got God Almighty with you. Think of how powerful that is. And then you get another guy that's a good buddy of yours, and then both of your spouses come, and then you're really talking, right? Because you know in truth and integrity that you're walking with God, and you know that He forgives, and that He's covered your sin, that you're not condemned in Christ. And so you're standing on a firm foundation. You're walking in truth and in love. And you no longer need to doubt. You no longer need to doubt. Even Cornelius understood this. He understood it. And when Peter came to his house, he said, "We're all here in the presence of God to hear what He has told you to say to us." A man who had never heard the gospel message understood very clearly reality. It's not an issue of where you were raised. Eternity is written in people's hearts. Don't start talking to them about vague generalities that never get to the truth of the matter, the gospel. The kingdom is here to take away all that the kingdom of darkness has done in your life. Let's deal with that. Stop spending time on atheism and evolution. People know God's real. Now start talking to them that way. Speak to the conscience, which is the Spirit of God provoking them. Three prepositions. Chuck used to teach this. Maybe some of you have heard this. With, in, and upon. The Spirit of God's with anyone trying to draw them to the Father. No one comes to the Father except being provoked, unless he's drawn. And he's drawing. He's drawing. Speak to that. Speak life, as Joseph would say. Speak to what God has placed in their heart, and you know it for a fact. Don't doubt. Wake up, because your redemption's drawing near. And you want to be about the Father's business when He comes back. And He's coming very soon. Very soon. Let's not be wondering, doubting. You are a child of God if you have put your faith in Him. You are therefore an ambassador of the kingdom. No matter how young, how long you've been one or not. Or how short you've been one. You are an ambassador with the same amount of authority. You walk. And every ounce of scripture that you get, you know what to do with it. Put it into practice. Don't just talk about it. We are at war. So let's walk as we ought to walk. Lord, help us in the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, help us. Men, why don't we stack hands and let's agree on this, that we're going to fight together. Father, help us to join as men. We stand together now. We stand together against the wiles of the enemy. Lord, we will hold each other to not doubting, to being faithful to you, to believing, knowing for a fact that you are with us and that you are going to work in that person's life. At this moment, Lord, give faith, increase the faith of these men. Lord, for their sons and daughters who are not following you, for the people with cancer, for the people that are sick in other ways. Lord, the people that need finances and provision. Lord, would you give them the faith to proclaim your word over those situations, to not doubt what you are going to do, to not doubt your faithfulness, to not wonder if you're going to provide, but to walk in the fact of knowing. And Lord, if there's any sin that needs to be dealt with, Lord, I pray we would do the first word of the gospel message, repent. Lord, you have given repentance to us as a gift. I pray we would see it as that, that you have granted repentance unto us. Oh, Lord, what a gracious gift you have given in repentance. Lord, let us come and repent of doubting. Lord, that we might walk in the light as you are in the light. And then we'll be made like you. You will purify us from all unrighteousness. You will cleanse us as we confess before you. We thank you for it because, Lord, I know that you're faithful. And I'm counting on your faithfulness. I'm taking it to the bank. I'm relying on it. As you will answer this prayer, for it is according to your heart. Thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's go get them.